Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Tonight is Tuesday, May 10th. Excuse me, I'm used to being on Wednesdays. And we have a very special episode for you tonight. Good evening, Eddie. How are you? Why don't you go ahead and introduce our special guest?
Well, I am doing fantastic. Our special guest tonight is somebody that can tell us about the days of yore when the men were men. Mr. Monty Hall, who announced the Rangers. He's got some great stories from back in the day. And Monty, welcome to the program. Really, really glad that you're here.
Well, I'll come out of the penalty box and we'll talk.
He's in the sin bin.
Yeah, my wife gave me a timeout, so I spent 2 minutes in the penalty box.
So, Jimmy, you go ahead and start it. And I know you had some questions prepared.
Well, yeah. First, we'll thank your wife for us for letting you out of the ice with us tonight. And I guess before we get to those two great stories you were warming up with before we came on the air, why don't we go back? Tell us how you got the job with the Rangers originally.
Well, I think that's kind of interesting. I'd come down from Canada where I hadn't done very much hockey broadcasting. I did a couple other stuff, but when I was down there, I went to see. Herb Gorin, who was the publicity director of the New York Rangers. Apparently he was related to some relative of mine back in Canada. She said, look him up when you get there. So I went to see him at Madison Square Garden, and he said, you know, it's kind of interesting that you came in today because WPIX is looking for a color man for the Ranger broadcast. You think you can do it? I said, sure, I can do it. So I went to see Ken Kiter, Les Kiter at WPIX. Now, he didn't even audition me. He said, okay, you got the job. Now, he didn't even know whether I could do it or not. So I find myself going over to Madison Square Garden. Nobody tells me what to do. I go up there. I'm sitting in the booth. And they said, okay, you'll open the show, and you'll do between periods. And then there's a break in action. And Jim Gordon will ask you to say something. Now, I went there, and having some broadcast experience, as soon as somebody gave me the cue, I said, good evening and welcome to Madison Square Garden and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. And so I did the broadcast. Now, my fee for doing that show was $75 a broadcast. Okay?
Now,
years later. What's that?
I just want to, like, $75 back then.
$75.
Where is that? Yeah, where is that? Now, in like a lot, not a lot? I mean, where is that at that time?
Well, you know, when I was working there, $75 was okay, but I got to tell you the story. Years later, many years later, I'm on a plane from New York to Los Angeles, and I sit beside the guy, and he turns to me and says, hi, remember me? I'm Les Kiter. I hired you to do the broadcast way back there about 25 years ago. And I said, yeah, that's right, that's right. I said, just for the sake of argument, how much was the talent fee on that show supposed to be? He said it was $150. I took $75 for myself and gave you the rest. He took $75. He took half of the talent fee, and then he started to laugh. And I said, "Les, the joke's on you because I would have done it for nothing." That's how much I loved the hockey in those days. So that's how I got the job, just by walking in and saying I'm from Canada and I know hockey.
Wow!
That was the only time in my life I won something without auditioning.
Now, were you working a lot of other jobs at the time? I mean, how were you?
Yes, I was
supplement?
Working at that time. At that time, I was doing Monitor on NBC Radio. Monitor was a weekend radio show. It started Saturday morning, went right through to Sunday night, and they had anchor people who did every 4 hours. And I worked Saturday afternoon, or Saturday actually, from 8 to midnight. That was my shift. So that was one of the jobs I had, and I had a show on Channel 5 called Bingo at Home with Monty Hall, and I had lots of little stuff. I was waiting for my big network break, and
right.
So I was filling in for I filled in for various people on various shows, and then one day in 1958 I got my real big break. I was picked to do a new show on CBS television called Keep Talking, and I got the job as the MC. The same week I got that, I got a call from an ad agency saying, hey, listen, Jack Barry, who MCs 21, is going on a nightclub career, and we need someone to fill in on the show. And we've seen your work, and we'd like you to take over from Jack Barry on NBC. So now I've got a network show on NBC and a network show on CBS, a dream come true, right?
Wow.
Yeah. After 3 weeks on 21, you remember 21, that was the big
right,
scandal
yeah.
riddle show.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I'm doing the show, and after 3 weeks on the show, 4 weeks on the show, I get a call from the ad agency saying, you've got to come into New York right away. So I say, why? He says, he'll tell you when you get in here. So I get in New York, and I go to Parks and Advertising, and they said, have you read this morning's World Telegram? I said, no. He says, and the headline, it says, Herb Stemple goes to district the DA, 21 is fixed. I said,
oh,
holy
wow.
moly. Holy moly, I never heard. I said, he said, do you know anything about this? I said, hell no. He said, well, he said that they gave Charles Van Doren the answers, and they asked Herb
right.
Stemple to take a dive on the show. That was long before I was there. So I said, well, my God. He said, do you know anything about it? I said, all I know is that every week I go into the office, and they open up a safe, and they show me the questions so for pronunciation and so on, and that's the last. Then they put it back in the safe, and I go on the air. Little did I know that after I left the office, the contestant went in the office, and they showed him the answers.
Jeez. Wow.
So now they said, so you were innocent. You knew nothing about this. I said, no, I was the patsy. I knew nothing about this. And then, of course, the scandal came, and Jack Barry had to come back and front the show. I wasn't on the show again. And then, of course, Barry was indicted, and so on. And the DA never even called me. They never even called me to be a witness because they knew I was one of those innocent lambs who was just filled in on the show. And
right.
then that was 1958, I believe. And then last year, 2010, the guy who prosecuted them at Washington happened to be a dinner companion of mine in Los Angeles. And I looked
oh,
at him.
Wow.
And I said, you don't know me. You never saw me. He said, no, I know you only by reputation. But I said, do you know that I was also the MC of 21 for 4 weeks? And you went after Jack Barry. You never went after me. Thank goodness. He said, no, you never came up. And
wow.
that was an interesting part. Now, the same time that they said I couldn't go back on the show again, that Jack Barry had to go back on the show again to front the show while the investigation was going on, the same time, my other show, Keep Talking, they fired me after 4 weeks because they got no ratings. Then they replaced me with Jackie Cooper, who just passed away recently, and they fired him after a couple of weeks. Then they got Carl Reiner, and the show was canceled altogether, so the show never made it. But in one exciting week, I was hired to do two network shows, and in one exciting month, I lost both of them.
Wow.
So
now, you want to hear
something? That's the roller coaster ride in show business.
Right. And you know, if I want to get another range of correlation going here, in 1994, of course, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. And in 1994, the movie Quiz Show, directed by Robert Redford, which was about
right.
the whole 21 scandal, was released.
That's
so
the whole show.
You know, and wasn't Jack Barry kind of... I don't want to say blackballed, but I really didn't see too much of him until Joker's Wild. Was there anything that went on with that before we get back to the hockey stuff?
Well, of course, I know he did that show, but I think that's when he came back and they allowed him to come back on television,
uh-huh.
if I'm not mistaken. It was many years later.
Now, you said you worked with Jim Gordon, and Jim is
that's right.
Much
he was the play-by-play guy.
Yeah. What kind of guy was Jim? Jim passed away, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. Actually, maybe a little bit longer. What kind of guy was Jim? And
he was very pleasant to work with. He sat beside me. We didn't really converse very much. He showed up for the game. I showed up for the game. I did the pregame stuff and handed it over to him. At certain breaks, I would say a word or two. I did the between the periods. When the show was over, I did the wrap-up and went home. I never really spent too much time with him, but I think he was a pretty good announcer.
Okay. And now, we have a lot of younger fans, and this is even before my time, so I'm not that young, but still comparatively to our age. Can you tell us who were the big players back in the day when you were announcing? Who were the top-notch players? Who were the big teams? And then maybe we'll get to the Rangers.
Well, I'm going back to the 1950s now. When I was broadcasting, or of course, I'd watched plenty of hockey before that. As a matter of fact, my dad in Winnipeg, Canada, before I was born, was an avid hockey fan in the early days of hockey. And he used to talk about people like Cyclone Taylor and Howie Morenz and Frank Frederickson, and names that I never knew, but they were the great Canadian team of Howie Morenz and Pit Lapine and Oral Joliette. That was the famous Montreal Canadiens line in the 20s. And I used to listen to the broadcast of the Toronto Maple Leafs had Conacher, Primo Conacher, and Jackson. That was the great front line of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the 20s and I think into the 30s. Joe Primo, Charlie Conacher, and Busher Jackson. And I could, in those days, I could tell you the whole lineup of the team, because we lived and died by the hockey and listening to it on Saturday night on the radio. And then, of course, came along later on. I got to see some of the players as I watched hockey into the 30s and the 40s. And then I saw some great hockey players. And of all the hockey players I saw down through the ages, and that includes the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and so on, the best hockey player I saw was not Gretzky, although he was, I think, probably one of the smartest men on the ice I ever saw. He was a great goal scorer, but he also he knew where every player on the ice was at any given time, and he was a master at creating situations. But for excitement, nobody ever matched Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr was the kind of a guy who would take the puck behind his net, and about three strides he was at the blue line, and another three strides he was pulling away from everybody. And he was just a fantastic skater and moved down the ice, gliding along most beautifully. And he was, like I said, from an excitement point of view, he was the most exciting player I ever saw. And then, of course, you want to know who the toughest player was, and that would be Gordie Howe. Now, I don't know if you Ranger fans know the story of how Lou Fontanato tried to pick a fight with him once.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the older fans do. Were you broadcasting for the Rangers when that happened? Or?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay.
And,
good.
And that was known as Lou Fontanato's big mistake.
Leaping Lou.
Yeah, because Gordie Howe, I tell you, first of all, he flattened Fontanato's nose,
Mm-hmm.
But he was just, you couldn't mess with him at all. He was so tough on that. Wasn't the biggest guy I ever saw. Maybe 6 feet and 180 pounds. But, man, could he fight. And could he play hockey. And about 13 or 14 years ago, I went into business with a food company. And wouldn't you know that Gordie Howe was one of our distributors.
Huh. Oh, that's great.
So I ran into him after all those years with his wife at a meeting. And what was interesting about that, here is Gordie Howe, one of the toughest guys you ever saw on the ice rink. And he sat with his wife during all the conferences, never opened his mouth. She did all the talking. She was the boss. She was the boss of Gordie, of Marty, and Mark, the whole family. She made the contracts. They didn't interfere. She was the boss of that family. And she passed away not too long ago. But that was an interesting family.
So, at that, so Rocker, at that, Okay, go ahead. Rocket Richard, you want
to
talk
about? No, I'm going to talk about the players that I saw. Rocket Richard was something to watch because when Rocket Richard came down right wing with the puck, he put his stick over to the right-hand side, and with one hand, he carried the puck in, bent over on his left side, almost 90 degrees, swooping in on goal, one-handed behind him with the puck, carrying the puck in. And they couldn't stop him. He was like 45 degrees coming in at that angle. He was something to watch, too. And then, of course, you talk about exciting things. Today, the hockey today, most goals are scored, as you know, from a pile up in front of the net. They shoot it in, they bang bodies around, they stuff the ball. Most goals today are scored from scrambles and so on. In the old days, a line would come down the ice, three forwards against two defensemen. They didn't back check too much at those days. These three guys would come down the ice and they were passing the puck. And so the hockey was known by the lines, by the three men on the line, not the individual stars. Chicago Blackhawks had one of the most exciting lines anybody would ever known, because they had Max Bentley, Doug Bentley, and Billy Mosienko. Not one of them weighed more than 145 pounds. They called them the Pony Line. But when they went down the ice, all you could hear was click, 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 click as the puck was passed from stick to stick to stick. It was exciting to see the way they passed their way into the goal. And then, of course, there's the Boston line of Schmidt and Dumart and who was the left? And Bauer. Schmidt, Bauer, and Dumart. These were famous lines. You knew hockey by the lines, not by the individuals.
Was that the Kraut line?
That was the Kraut line.
Okay.
Schmidt, Bauer, and Dumart.
Okay. Just want to make sure I knew my...
Gordie Howe played a line with Ted Lindsay. And who was the other member with Lindsay, Howe, and Abel, Sid Abel. That was a great line. So each team had a famous line. And that's got the attention.
Okay. Now, Monty, the year you were with the Rangers, they weren't very good. I think they won about 17 games that year. Phil Watson was the head coach at the beginning of the year, but he didn't finish the year. By the end of the year, Alf Pike was the head coach. And you have a story for us about Phil Watson.
The story about Phil Watson was this. I had to do between periods. I had to fill about 15, 20 minutes between periods. So one day I asked Phil Watson if he'd come up and be the interviewee during that time. He left the dressing room when he came up. And I said to him, you know, Phil was half Scotch and half French-Canadian. Or some people say he was half Scotch and half soda. But he was half Scotch and half. His father was Scotch, his mother was French Canadian, and he was brought up in the French Canadian part of Montreal, Quebec, and he spoke with an accent, with a French Canadian accent. So he came on the air, and all I did was say to him, "Coach, what's wrong with the Rangers this year?" Because they were always either fifth or sixth in a 16 league, as you knew.
Right.
And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, there. What's wrong with that team, there?" He said, "We'll start with that goaltender, that Gump, Rorty. He's so, but he drinks so much beer in that goal with that big pot belly is, he can't move around that cage. He's too fat, too much beer." Then he said, "Louis Fontanelle, he never been the same since Gordie Howe hit him. Harry Howell on defense, he wouldn't even hit his sister." He says, "Camille Lendry, he sit there by the cage waiting for somebody to give him the puck to put in the goal. He don't do nothing. Andy Batgate, he got two braces on his knees. He can't skate no more." So that's it. He went through the whole team one by one by one, tearing every one of them apart. Okay, so that's it. And that's the end of the period. He goes back. The next period starts. I look down at the bench, and he's not behind the bench. Muzz Patrick, the general manager, is behind the bench.
Uh-oh.
What happened? Muzz listened to the radio in between periods. He heard Watson tear his team apart. He fired him in between periods and took over the team behind the bench.
Wow.
It's pretty safe to say that that's one game I didn't go into the dressing room after the game.
I didn't know he got fired. I knew he
got fired between periods.
That's wow.
That's amazing.
His luck. Plus Patrick was listening.
And all because you asked him what's wrong with the
all I did one line.
Rangers.
I didn't say anything. I just said, what's wrong with the Rangers this year? And I didn't say another word. He went on a tirade, and he went from goal to defense to forwards. He went right through the whole team.
Now, see, what's ironic about that, Monty, is with the current Ranger regime and the ownership they have now, if you'd have asked that question to the head coach, you'd have gotten fired instead of the head coach.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be a team player, right?
Yeah. They're not supposed to speak ill of the organization.
I see. Well, of course, I didn't say a word. I just asked this innocent question. I expect him to say, "Well, we have a little trouble. Our boys have been injured." And so, no, he went position by position.
Wow.
And then you were also telling us about Jacques Plante before you.
Well, that is the best story of all.
Okay.
You know, when I'm back in 1958, I guess, right? 58, 59?
Right.
Jacques Plante, the Canadians are in town, and Jacques Plante in the warm-up before the game is wearing a mask. He's wearing a mask during the warm-up. Nobody ever wore a mask during the game. He wore a mask during the warm-up, and nobody thought anything of it. But in the first 5 minutes of the game that day, he gets hit in the face because he's not wearing a mask. He gets hit in the face, and he's bleeding profusely. Now, they take him into the dressing room to stitch him up. In those days, they only carried one goaltender, so there was no one to replace him. So we had to wait till they stitched him up for about 15, 20 minutes, and I'm filling in all that time. Now, while I'm filling in, I said, it wouldn't surprise me that when he came back on the ice to play the game, that he would be wearing the mask. And if he does, it'll be the first time in NHL history that a goaltender wore a mask during a game. Now, I finished saying that, and they skate on the ice to open the next action. He skates on the ice, and he's wearing the mask, as I predicted. 15,000 people in Madison Square Garden got to their feet and booed him. They booed because the Macho Man was wearing a mask. Nobody ever wore a mask. And in those days, they booed him for wearing a mask. But he created history that night. And I predicted it. So that was exciting for me.
Yeah, it's a great prediction and, an important night in hockey history. And, I guess a lot of the players and the fans, they look down upon the fact that he's wearing a mask.
That's right. Since then, everybody started wearing a mask, and the goaltenders, I think, were pretty happy to wear one because once it was established, they were no longer the chicken liver guys. They were doing the smart thing. I mean, it's like a baseball catcher not wearing a mask, The things you certainly have to do. I had a cousin back in Winnipeg, Canada, playing. He played baseball, and he didn't wear a mask. He was a catcher. And that explained him. I said that one event when I went up to Winnipeg to do a banquet for him, I said, well, that explains my cousin today. He took a few foul tips in the noggin. since then, the teams carry a second goaltender as well.
Right.
And
while we're on the subject of goalies, goalies were a different breed back then. They usually were nervous types. They liked to imbibe the adult beverages. Do you have any good stories about perhaps some goaltenders that you maybe interviewed or talked to?
The interesting thing is that today most goaltenders go into that squat, what do they call that position with the butterfly? To go down spreading. But in many goaltenders in those days were stand-up goalkeepers. They didn't squat. They were stand-up goaltenders. And once in a while, they'd slide out to stop a guy coming in on them. But most of the time, they stayed on their skates standing up, which is very interesting. And they used their ability to, kick stops or with their gloves and so on. But not like today. Today, they use that butterfly spread. And now, also with the equipment they're wearing, it's pretty tough to get it past them.
Hmm.
And pads were much thinner in those days too. The pads
are
much wider today.
Do you think a guy like Doug Worsley could play in today's hockey?
What was the question?
I was going to say, I said that, do you think a guy like in Doug Worsley's condition could play hockey today?
Well, he was a good goaltender, but about conditioning, I'm sure that they'd make him slim down a little bit. I don't know. For my part, I never thought that he was slow or something, but I guess if you're carrying about 25 pounds of beer in your belly, it's a little tough to get around the cage. We saw some great goaltenders jumping. Jim Henry for the Rangers was a good goaltender. Charlie Rayner, outstanding goaltender. And then I go all the way back to George Ainsworth and so on, way back in when I was a kid watching hockey. So I've seen them all. Who was the young guy from Winnipeg who was a great goaltender and played for the Chicago Blackhawks? His name escapes me. One of the greatest of all time. Now let's test your hockey knowledge.
Tony Esposito?
No. No, before Tony.
Before Tony. Before
Tony.
Anyhow, but he said, you'll have to excuse me. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
You're doing pretty good.
Your memory's better than mine.
I was trying to remember his name. Just
Glenn Hall.
What's that?
Glenn Hall.
Even before him.
Oh, before Glenn Hall.
Yeah. Anyhow, we've seen some great players, but in the style of hockey today, it's very difficult to get an individual who can carry a team like in the old days because the tremendous amount of skating and backs, the big guys are bigger, the rinks are too small for them. Do you know that? The rinks are too small for the size of the players today. If they used Olympic-sized rinks, we'd have much better hockey. You'd see a lot more passing. Passing is one of the elements of the game that's missing a lot today, because what they do is they get over the red line and they shoot it in and they all run in after it. And then he comes to the scramble in front of the net and so on. In Olympic hockey, with those big wide rinks, there's a greater emphasis on speed and stick handling and passing.
Hmm.
You just heard it from me. And nobody cares.
Oh, of course we do.
Yeah.
We do. I mean, that argument has been made recently that the rinks are too small for the size of the guys. Everybody's 6'3", 200 plus. I mean,
that's right. The rink is too small. Now, did you watch the great Olympic match between Canada and the United States?
Yes.
In the last Olympics? That was hockey at the old-time best. There was such an emphasis. There wasn't any slashing. They tried to avoid penalties as much as possible. There was no slamming into the boards. They played finesse hockey, and with a greater emphasis on skating and passing. And I loved the Olympic hockey.
Oh, that was a great Olympics.
Rinks were larger. Olympic rinks are larger, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, you've got four officials on the ice now.
How many?
Four.
Isn't there one referee and two linesmen?
No, two.
Or do they have two?
Now there's two referees and two linesmen in the NHL.
Yeah.
Well, now you see that rink isn't big enough to cover it. They have all of them on the ice at the same time. In the old days, I'm trying to remember if there were even linesmen in the old days. There was a referee. Maybe two of them on the ice. No linesman. Anyhow, that goes back quite a bit.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm looking at this roster now for the one that you were affiliated with when you announced for the Rangers. I'm looking at some of the guys. Maybe you can give me, if you have any, thoughts on them or any stories or comments on them. One of my favorites is... It's always been Andy Spud Hebbington. Do you remember him at all?
Who's that?
Andy Hebbington? Andy Spud Hebbington?
Hebbington? No, you're not coming through pretty clear to me. One of you is coming clear and the other is not.
Okay.
Andy Hebbington?
Well, I remember Andy Hebbington.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't remember him too well. He played the Rangers too, didn't he?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Popeen, Prentice, Popeen, Camille Henry, Bathgate, those guys. You know, there's a six-team league, and we always ended up fifth or sixth. And Toronto, Montreal, Detroit, and Boston, it was called the Norris Hockey League because I think Norris owned three of the teams.
Hmm.
But it was an exciting game, and I appreciated the finesse of those days because of the emphasis on stick handling and passing. And I must confess that the last several years, I haven't seen too many games here in Los Angeles. It lost some of its feel for me because of, well, let me give you an example. I had a very close friend who said, listen, I want to go see a hockey game, and I want you to explain it to me because I don't understand the game too well. And there's nothing much to explain. We'll just go down there and you'll watch the skill of these people. And they try to get the goal and explain the offside rules and so on and so on. And after about the first or second period, he said, I something's missing here. I can't seem to get on to the excitement. And I said, okay. Then I took my grandson, who was 12 years old, I took him to his first game. And there's a fight broke out. And they were smashing each other all over the place. The crowd's yelling. And he said, Grandpa, can we go home? He didn't want to see that fight on the ice. He wanted to see a sport being played. And I don't know. And of course, they always had fighting in hockey. I'm not so sure that it ever helped the sport. But there's a bloodthirsty crowd waiting for the picador and the bull, you know.
So, well, how did you feel about it? I mean, when you covered the game, there was certainly a lot of fighting going on. How did you feel about it?
It's the only sport where if you fight, you're thrown out of the game. It's the only sport where you're not thrown out of the game. Any other sport, you fight. In any other game, you fight, you're thrown right out, right? In hockey, you stay on the ice. You get a 5-minute penalty, and you're still in the game. You do it. You fight in baseball, you're off the field. Fight in football, you're off the field. Fight in basketball, you're off the court. But only hockey tolerates this kind of action. And if they didn't tolerate like they do in Olympic hockey, you would see more emphasis on skill and less on goons, each team carrying a goon, each team carrying the guy who's going to get even with the other team. I don't go for that stuff. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like skill.
Okay.
How do you feel about fighting?
Me personally, I'm like everybody else. If a fight breaks out, I'm on my feet with everybody else. You know, if there's not a fight in a game, I don't miss it. Eddie's the fight guy, though. He likes to, right, Eddie?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't like the goonery, like, you know. Like, you remember Dave Schultz with the Flyers and the
that was
just too much. And I was so glad that the Canadians ended that because they kind of recaptured hockey for the way it was meant to be, you know, with skill.
Right. You don't go to see. Well, a lot of people like to see the fights. I must say I had some friends in New York when I was broadcasting, and they'd come to the games with me and so on. They wanted to see a fight. They love to see a fight. And I said, no, this is not what it's all about, guys. What's the story about the a guy went to the prize fights and the hockey game broke out?
Yeah. That's an oldie but a goodie.
So what was so Alf Pike takes over as coach and things don't improve much for the team. Maybe give us a little insight on Alf Pike after the coaching change.
Well, I don't know Pike as a coach. You know, I watched Pike play as a junior hockey player in Winnipeg.
Right.
He played with the Winnipeg Monarchs, and I remember it was Pike, Kauchinak, and McCready. You see, I still remember the name of the line he played on. Pike, Alfie Pike, Kauchinak, and McCready. And they were a great team. They went to the Memorial Cup and won it in about 1936 or so, but he was a good player. I don't remember too much as a coach, except I think when I saw him behind the bench, he had white hair by then, right?
That'll do it.
I saw many great junior hockey players in Canada who didn't go up to the big leagues. a lot of them decided to go on and get jobs in business or whatever they did. But many of these talented boys didn't go to the big leagues. But I saw some great junior hockey players. I saw Gordie Howe break in. I was covering hockey in 1946, I think, or so. I was covering hockey for CHUM, a radio station. I wasn't broadcasting. I was just covering it as a sportscaster. And I saw the 17-year-old kid break into hockey. He was 17 years old, Gordie Howe, and everybody in the box looked at him and they said, "This kid's going to go places." I think they were right.
Wow.
I saw a lot of these boys break in. Bobby Hull was explosive to watch with that wicked shot of his. But of all the players, I'd put in order like this. I'd say that the greatest players I ever saw were Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe. Oh, I'll tell you a cute story. My brother in Toronto has a golf tournament every year for a hospital in which he's on the board. So he puts on a golf tournament every year. And he has many of the hockey players in the offseason playing in this golf tournament. And a couple of years ago, Jean Beliveau, a great hockey player with the Montreal Canadiens, as you remember, Jean Beliveau was playing in the golf tournament. And so my brother said to him, "Jean, who's the greatest player you ever played against?" And Jean Beliveau, in his French-Canadian accent, said, "Well, there was Bobby Orr, and then there was the rest of us."
Wow.
And that's from Jean Beliveau.
That's high praise indeed.
Isn't that the best?
That is, yes. That is very high praise.
There was Bobby Orr, and then there was the rest of us.
All right. Well, Monty, as we talked about, since we just want to get in a few questions, like I told you when I wrote to you, we have a lot of our listeners, guys, are here today. Often we get off topic and we start talking about classic TV shows and different things. And just a couple of quick things that we'll mention. One of the things that we heard from comments when we told people you were going to be on the show, do you know what was one of the most frequent comments we heard from people? Not the whole door number one, door number two. Canned squid. Everybody remembers you from The Odd Couple. This is we are all big Odd Couple fans on this show. We talk about it, and we have a chat room that goes on while everybody's listening in their chat and listening to you tell these great stories. And even one of our chatters brought up the line, "Are you covering the races from the inside now, Oscar?" When they were in the horse costume.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. When I was asked to do that show, I did two episodes. Once was the when I put them on the. On the game show, and the other time is when I had a talk show, and when I came down to rehearsal, the producer said, "Look, Monty, today we're going to build this whole thing around Let's Make a Deal. Now we haven't written the script for that yet. We've written an opening and a closing, but during the show we want you to help us because we want you to give us some insight on how we should play the game when Tony Randall and Jack Clegg would come on the show, and you help us with the dialogue there and so on." And we ad-libbed so much of it. And working with those two guys, Tony Randall and Jack Klugman, was hysterical.
Huh.
They were such brilliant actors, and we ad-libbed so many. Now, there's one point on the show where Tony Randall, he absolutely killed me. Jack Klugman is teaching him how to be Monty Hall. He says, "You come down the aisle," and he says, "and you ask me to make a deal," and he's doing this, and you're the contestant. I'm coming down the aisle, and you're the contestant, Tony, and you have to be very nice and, you know, get excited, and maybe he'll pick you. So I come down the aisle, and Tony Randall's sitting there, and he holds up one little finger and says, "Oh, Mr. Hall, oh, Mr. Hall."
Remember that.
Jack says, "You can't do that. You can't do it like that. He'll never notice you." Tony says, "Why not? I'm sitting here like a perfect gentleman." He broke me up so much. But they were just great to work with, just great. And then the next episode I did, where they wrote a screen where I have a talk show, and I bring Tony Randall on for an interview. And no, I bring Jack Klugman on for an interview, and Tony Randall's waiting in the green room, ready to go on, and we run out of time. And I sing his theme song and whistle his theme song. and he goes crazy in the dressing room. Those two episodes that I did were put away as in the time capsule. They liked those two episodes so much, and I never enjoyed any so much as working them either.
Yeah, that's great. And one of our listeners he actually uses a screen name that's Odd Couple related. And when you started talking about the Odd Couple, he said, "Oh my God, I'm in heaven now." it's his favorite all time show. So
it was a great show. But you have to understand that these two guys in real life were exactly like they were on television. Or let me put it, the way they were on television was exactly a reflection of how they were in real life. Jack Klugman, a gruff guy and a slob, and Tony Randall was very prissy and an opera lover, just like you saw on the screen. That's the way they were in real life. As a matter of fact, during rehearsals, Tony Randall's in his dressing room, and all of a sudden he'd come bursting out of his dressing room and scream at the top of his voice, "Someone in this studio is smoking!" And go crazy over it. But just the most delightful guys. And I'll tell you one story about Jack Klugman. You want to hear the story?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. Jack Klugman calls me one day. He says, "Hey, Monty, you want to go to the races?" He loved the races. He loved the racetrack. And I'd had him on one of my specials about a week or so before that. I did a few late night specials on ABC, and I had him on. And he said, "You want to go to the track with me?" I said, "Great." She said, "I'll pick you up at about 11:30, and we'll go to the track. We'll have some lunch, and then we'll watch the track and watch the races." So he picks me up, and we go down to Hollywood Park, and we order lunch. Now, he orders an omelet, and I order an omelet. And he says, "I'll be back. I got to go talk to a trainer." He's got to talk to a trainer about whose horse is running that day. I'm sitting there eating my omelet. He doesn't show up. The waiter comes and says, "What happened to him?" I said, "He's down there in the stable somewhere." He said, "All right, I'll keep it warm." He takes the omelet away. Jack comes up about 15 minutes later, and the race starts. The race finishes. He loses his money. He rips up his tickets. They bring him the omelet. He says, "I got to go see a trainer." He disappears again. It's again, the waiter takes the omelet and takes it back in the kitchen. Seven races. Seven times he brought the omelet. Seven times Jack Klugman never ate it. Seven times he was seeing a trainer, an owner, a newscaster, a sports writer, a tout, anybody. He kept ripping up his tickets, never finished his. I never saw him the whole day. He'd come back, we'd watch the race, he'd lose, he'd disappear again. So I'd see him for about a minute and 20 seconds of each race, and he's gone again, right? At the end of the day, we're driving home, we're listening to the last race on the radio that he bet on. We left before the last race. He pulls me up in front of my home, and he says, "Gee, Monty, you're terrific to go to the track with." I said, "How the hell would you know? You never saw me the whole day." But I still see him occasionally. He's a great guy. An interesting footnote: they went back a few years ago to do a special showing of the special stage show for charity, The Odd Couple. Tony Randall and Jack Klugman did a stage presentation.
Right.
And my daughter, Joanna Gleason, appeared on the show with them. You know, my daughter's a well-known actress in New York.
Yep, Joanna Gleason.
And she appeared with them.
Wow.
Lovely guys. I mean, most fun in the world.
That's great. Those are great stories. Monty, before we let you go, we appreciate you coming on with us and spending a little time. This has been a lot of fun. And you're still very involved with some children's charities, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, I'm still the international chairman of Variety, the children's charity. And so I'm in the old days, I used to go around doing telethons. And I did about four or five telethons in New York for Variety, but I did them all across the United States and Canada. But I've stopped doing those telethons. My position right now with Variety is more or less of an honorary position. I'm the international chairman. But I had a tennis tournament for 32 years that raised money for diabetes. 32 years for one tournament. And we did a lot of money. We raised $21 million for them. And I have the Home for the Aged. I raised $40, $50 million. That's all I do is charity work. And, of course, Let's Make a Deal is on the air now with Wayne Brady doing as the MC. I picked him a couple of years ago to replace me. And I'm the consulting producer. I still own the show. I have a job as consulting producer. You know what that means? when you're consulting, you give them all kinds of notes they pay no attention to.
Well,
but I continue with my charity work. As a matter of fact, I'm going to meet with the writers on Friday morning just to go over them and tell them the stuff I like and so on for the show. So I still keep my hand in there, and I do an awful lot of charity appearances. I emcee one banquet after another. I'm always in some hotel emceeing some banquet here in town, so I keep very active that way.
Well, that's great.
Monty, God bless you, and thanks so much for joining us and taking some time out and letting us know about what went on, you know, back in the day, and some of your stories were incredible. And I do agree with you that Bob, you are, from the footage that I've seen, probably was the most innovative player and probably the most just unbelievable goal that you scored.
You know, when Phil Esposito won the scoring titles, he should have bought a new home for Bobby Orr, because Bobby Orr set up all those goals.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see film on Bobby Orr, when he wound up behind his goal and took a few strides, the crowd got to their feet. And then he'd pull away from everybody. It was a thing of beauty. And a nice guy on top of it.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, Amani, I just want to say one more thing before we go. I want to thank you for being here. I mailed you a letter on Saturday, and by Tuesday I was speaking to you on the phone, and you were very, very nice to come on here with us, and I really do appreciate it. And all the best, and we'll talk to you again hopefully someday.
That'll be very nice, and thank you very much for calling.
It's been our pleasure. Take care, Monty. Good night.
Right, good night.
Well, there you have it, folks. The great Monty Hall,
yeah,
right here on our show.
Some people didn't believe it was the real Monty Hall.
Yeah, that was him. Did you notice? I think I mentioned this a week or two ago. Did you notice that? Well, I think it was kind of hard not to notice. But did you notice his Canadian accent was right there at the forefront? Like, I think he kind of covered it up all those years on TV a little bit, because he didn't sound that quote unquote Canadian when he was doing Let's Make a Deal,
yeah,
right?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know. Maybe it was talking about hockey that brought it out. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I love the way he said hockey. How do you say it? Hockey.
Hockey. Hockey. Yeah.
Hockey.
The Odd Couple. I mean, that was great. I didn't want to. I was going to ask him about Let's Make a Deal. And I'm like, oh, he's probably answered those questions a million times. Enough. Go look it up on YouTube if you want the answers. So instead, we ask him a little bit about The Odd Couple, where most of us are fans of the show. And that was, he had good stories about going to the racetrack with Jack Klugman.
Yeah. So. I like how Jack was just losing, ripping up tickets and going to see a trainer and going to see you think he would have stopped going to the train after he lost seven races?
I mean,
maybe, that was part of it.
With that story that he told us, he's absolutely right. Jack Klugman really was Oscar, because that was Oscar. I mean, he could never win either with the horse. So, I mean, that's so funny.
And I like the way he got Phil Watson fired. That was cool, too.
Yeah.
I was interviewing him, and he got fired between periods. Wow. So there you go. Monty Hall. We deliver the number one guests in the Block Talk Radio celebrity sphere. Wow. Monty Hall might be the number one for Block Talk. Not for normal media outlets, but for Block Talk, he's pretty much a heavyweight. We're glad we had him. He was good.
I don't know. Blog Talk didn't promote us like I asked them to.
Oh, screw
you, know
you
who,
Blog
you know
Talk.
Who they, you know who they did promote? Do you know who made the cut instead of Monty Hall?
I don't know.
Don
let
Grady.
Me guess. Who?
Don Grady. You don't know who he is?
Grady from Sanford and Son?
No, that was Whitman Mayo. Don Grady. I'll bet you.
I don't know who Don Grady is.
Frosty or Mandar will know who it is. He was Robbie Douglas on My Three Sons. Exactly.
All right.
he's going to be on somebody's show, and he's got his picture up there as one of today's picks, but not the great Monty Hall. Come on, Blog Talk.
Yeah.
Who had a better career? Monty Hall's still working. What's the last thing you saw Don Grady do? Park a car.
He owns Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall.
Still.
Still. He picked Wayne Brady. He picked. He's a mover and a shaker.
That's right.
Now.
Next week on the show, Don Grady.
Well, now listen.
Now.
Now. The segue of the century. What were the Rangers thinking? You know what I'm talking about, Jim, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Do the people at home know what I'm talking about? I mean, to me, now I know it's just draft picks. But there's a story here. And the story is, I can't see making a trade for the sake of making a trade when, I don't know, when guys are so young and you don't know what they are, they're unknown quantities. And why do you waste all the time and energy to make a second selection overall? And then decide you're going to trade with Phoenix. What is the obsession with the Coyotes in this management? You wrote a great thing on Blue Shirt Banner. Stop with Phoenix. Just stop. And we're talking about the Ethan Werick for Oscar
The Lindbergh baby.
Now, you know, listen, we've had Ethan Werick on this program. I'm partial to Ethan Werick. Everybody knows it.
Me too.
This is the program. You too. Good kid told us that he dreams every night. When I asked him, I said, you know, Kreider and Ryan Bourque, you know, they say they don't really think about playing for the Rangers all that much while they're, you know, playing for their college and junior teams. But Werick said to us, he dreams every night playing for the New York Rangers. He has that dream.
He basically said, baloney. I think about it every day.
Right. Now, this Lindenberg, oh, the humanity. Now, I can't see the Rangers. Now, the first thing I heard about this guy was he's great on faceoffs. Now, we know we had a problem with faceoffs last year, but are we really projecting that 3 years down the line we're still going to be bad on faceoffs? I know we had Jess Rubenstein on a couple weeks, and he did tell us that Ethan Werick's progress had been halted by injuries and that he was trying too hard.
Yeah, said his stock was down.
His stock was down. That's another reason you should listen to this show, because Jess Rubenstein knows what he's talking about. So, Jim, what do you feel about this? I need somebody to even ignite me further.
Well, look, it's like you said. Okay, I was at the 2009 draft, okay? They drafted Ethan Werick in the second round, and the buzz was, look at us. Look what we did. We got Ethan Werick in the second round. This guy is first round talent. He's a steal. A steal. We have him We had him on the show. Talks about how excited he is to be a Ranger someday. I've got audio still when I interviewed him at the draft. I said this. If you go back and listen to the first show we did after the draft, this is what I said about Ethan Werick, or something close to it. I said, Ethan Werick, when he put that Ranger jersey on, he looked like you and I if we would have put a Ranger jersey on and know that we had been picked by the Rangers. You could not have found a guy more proud to have been wearing a New York Rangers jersey. 8 months ago, Eddie's going to a viewing party where they bring Chris Kreider and Ethan Werrick and Ryan Bourque out. Here are the faces of the future of this franchise. And the kid gets hurt. He busts up his knees, got an off year. And, oh, that's it? Off to the desert? We'll banish him to the desert with Jim Schmiedeberg. I mean, and if, okay, you want to trade him, you want to move on, fine. But is Don Maloney the only friggin' guy who will answer Sather's calls anymore? Is that what it's come down to? Is the rest of the league, they don't even want to talk to this old bat? The phone, the caller ID comes up, he's 555 nuts. Oh, I ain't answering that. It's that. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi again calling with his ridiculousness. I'll trade you. Give me Ovechkin at 7 for Drury. But Don Maloney will pick it up every time. And why? Because of what Amy just said a few minutes ago in the chat room. Because every deal we make with Phoenix, who gets the better of the deal in the end?
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Phoenix. Every deal. Enver Leeson. Enver Leeson. Where is he? Derek Morris. Where is he? Who else? Who am I forgetting? Who else? Oscar Lindbergh, baby. Nobody's heard of this guy.
He's in the Swedish Elite League. Come on. It'll take him 2 years to learn the NHL rinks before he can win a faceoff here. I mean, I'm upset. I'm upset because, again, I'm upset because it has to be Phoenix. I don't know what went on. And listen, two good points were made in the chat room. Stan says, well, you can't evaluate the trade until these guys are playing each other. That's fine. But why is it always Phoenix, and why even make a trade? Why? Sign the kid, have him play in the Hartford, see if he develops. He's your second-round pick. And then the second comment was by Captain New York Ranger, who said that Werrick was the compensatory pick for Cherepanov. So that makes it doubly. It makes it even more doubly annoying. So to me, man, you don't want to make a big deal out of this, but in a lot of ways, it irks me because, again, for the same reasons that you just went off, and I have to say superbly, about 555 nuts. So, I mean, what do we know about this Oscar Lindbergh? Oh, I know he plays in the Swedish Elite League. Oh, he's a sixth-round pick? What, are we going backwards?
No, I think he was a second-round pick as well last year, wasn't he? I think so. And in fairness, Mandar makes a great point. Who cares how many third liners we trade to Phoenix? But what's the fascination with the Phoenix? I mean, this isn't like Neil Smith picking off ex-Oilers here. You know, you're talking about trades between two teams that can't get out of the first round to save their lives. I mean, it's like we're just swapping bums back and forth. Like, I don't get it.
But see, Mandar,
at least Phil Esposito spun the wheel. Who am I going to trade with today? Oh, let me call. Today I'll call the Minnesota North Stars and see what they got.
Right.
Okay, so would you rather say we trade with Atlanta? Yes. Bufflin? Sure. Give me any one of them.
Andrew Ladd? Sure. You know, I'll take a lot of guys off Atlanta. And you can't pay Ethan Werrick to be a third liner. You can't tell right now. I mean, he can wind up being the next Shane Doan, who, by the way, is a Phoenix Coyote.
For now. Give it time.
I don't know. We gave you Monty Hall, so pipe down, Mandar. No opinions tonight.
Yeah, we even got an odd couple story, a good odd couple story out of him. He's still picking on us. Well, Mandar is very much, what have you done for me lately?
Okay. So, it irked me, because here you go. And, you know, I guess because, you know, it is a fan show. We're fans. Guy comes on our show and he tells us he's going to be a rent. I'm a little emotionally involved. I'm not a real reporter here. So. So anyway, that's the Ethan Werrick for Oscar Lindbergh. It's good on face-offs. Well, it better be good. So's Lobster Newberry, Chris Newberry. What does that mean?
Where's Joe Zanuzzi when you need him? Here we go. Now we're naming all the defunct teams in the NHL that we can't trade with anymore.
So I was a little perturbed by that. What else we got tonight? Who's next?
Well, we take Jack phone calls. 646-478-4692. We got an hour to go. Since
Easy or not, no, it's just, I hate Newberry. He only played like six games, but I don't like him much either. Anyway, go ahead.
What does he do?
Lobster Newberry.
That's all he is. He's a great nickname.
Well, that's Ricky O's favorite player.
Oh. Sunday nights, New York sports legends. Check it out.
Our producer. So what else is going on?
Like I said, phone calls 646-478-4692. We'll get last week's show. We got a lot of nice reviews from last week's show. Everybody had a good time last week.
Well, what was that one guy said? What are these guys not talking about hockey?
The guy that came in the chat room at the 129 mark of the show and wanted to know why we weren't talking about hockey.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Exactly, Paulie. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes. And yes, it's true. Milan Hayduk, it's confirmed, will be a Ranger. We don't get Brad Richard. It's in the bag. Along with that James Wisniewski. Those two guys are predicting will be with the Rangers. I've been watching a little bit of the World Championships.
Yeah.
It kind of annoys me. Like Derek Stepan, I know they agreed to play, but haven't you had enough?
I was thinking that too. How many games is enough?
Right. I mean, do you really love hockey that much? Apparently so. All I got to see is one of these guys get hurt. And people say, Mouth, where's your national pride? And screw my national pride. I love the Rangers. That's what I worship. They're my church. They're my government.
Thou shalt have no other gods before thee.
That's right. Imagine the Rangers were our government. Holy shit.
We'd be a banana republic.
These guys, it's their first year in the pros, and they're just pushing it and pushing it. The season's going to be here soon again. You know, 2 or 3 months, and they have to rev it up all again. Didn't Ryan McDonough have a taxing enough season playing defense with the Rangers this year? I don't know. So that goes with that. And this just then, Mando's reporting that Stepan is going to be traded for Phoenix for Werrick. Good one.
And Roosevelt.
And Roosevelt. Wow, we don't want to make Amy upset, so don't even bring Roosevelt's name up.
That would make Amy happy.
That's
Shano's day in Detroit. No score. 4:15 left in the second period.
Are you happy that Vancouver won?
No, I don't like Vancouver. I don't like their fans. I want them to lose. I want to see them riot. That's what I want. I am like, I'm like George Carlin. I love, chaos. I want to see the town on fire. You know, helicopters watching the smoke. The fans are overturning cop cars. No, I don't want them to win at all.
Okay.
Although in a perfect scenario, you know, maybe they'll get into the finals against Boston or Tampa Bay, and you know they'll have a 3-0 lead in the series, and then they'll come back and lose in Game 7. They'll blow like a 4-0 lead in the third period in Game 7. You know. Luongo will go to make an easy save, and the puck will just kind of trickle off
like
his glove into the net.
Like what? A Buckner.
Yeah, exactly.
It can spy Luongo. It can spy Luongo.
Yeah.
I really can't. The way the East shook out, Tampa Bay and Boston. I don't know.
Not doing it for you?
It's not doing it for me at all.
Would you rather see the Flyers and Caps?
It's not a matter of what I like. It's just from what I thought. Of course, you got to throw the Pittsburgh equation in there without Crosby and Malkin. But if I'm thinking the best of the best, I saw Tampa live a couple times this year, and yes, they have an exciting line, you know. And St. Louis and Stamkos are awesome, and they have a lot of guys who are chipping it. That defense and a 41-year-old goaltender. And Boston, I mean, we saw the Rangers play Boston, and Rangers held up well pretty much against Boston.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, there were a lot of
Boston.
Yeah. There were a lot of one. I just don't see those teams as. I don't know.
You just don't know because you just don't see them as an Eastern Conference representative.
I don't see them as a force. I don't see them as a force.
Okay.
Now, if you ask me about Vancouver, they're the number one team in the NHL. All right? So, okay. Now, you got the Sharks and Detroit. There's another. Again, two good teams. Sharks have had the jinx thing. I've told you I've been kind of rooting for them. Those are two good teams. The other two, the East looks the least out of those teams. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about it. But I certainly wouldn't have said it's going to be Tampa and Boston in the semis.
How badly do you think the NHL wants Detroit to come back in that series and then meet Boston in the finals?
Oh, they want that original six.
Well, I mean, not even. I mean, who's going to watch? How are you going to garner national interest in Tampa Bay and San Jose in the finals?
Well, you won't.
Exactly. Boston and Detroit, I mean, Detroit, the Red Wings, well, both of those teams, they got fans everywhere. You know, people will watch that series. The casual fan is not going to turn on Tampa Bay and San Jose in the finals.
I'm not even going to watch it.
See, to me, that's just another reason to root for Tampa Bay, because it'll piss the NHL off. They're not poster boys. They're not, they're not favorites. So... good for them. I think it's going to be a good series, though. All right. Phone calls. 646-478-4692. Let's bring the great Mandar in first. Good evening,
caller
Mandar.
Caller number
how
two, introduce yourself to the public.
Oh, my God. Odd couple references. Let's make a deal. Jack Klugman stories. Best show ever, period.
Forget Wayne Gretzky. Forget Emil Francis. Forget Gretschner. Monty Hall's the best show ever.
Wouldn't it be funny to have a Monty Hall, Emil Francis show? I mean, you'd never get a word in.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, we could just play the theme music, start the show, and go have dinner.
No, really, though. That was very entertaining. I think a lot of people said it in the chat room, too. He's 89 years old, is that right?
Yes.
You'd never, ever know that from the way the guy speaks. Not even, and I know you're commenting about it, the accident. You're right. He probably had to clean it up anyway for being on TV. But the guy doesn't have an aged kind of voice at all. And you'd figure with him being on TV all those years, you know, having to speak and do thousands of shows, the guy would be a little worn out in his voice. But it's amazing how on top of it he sounded.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I think I'm a believer that the busier you stay, the older you get, the better. I think you stay sharper that way. You know, I think people who just retire and go sit home every day and you know, stare at the walls or the TV, I think they're the ones that lose it faster than the people. I mean, listen how busy he stays. He's emceeing buffets, banquets. He's running off to he's creative consultant on a new Let's Make a Deal. It's great.
Yeah, and look, and he still remembers. I mean, everybody knows him other than us fanatical Ranger fans and probably, you know, the other fanatical hockey fans, but the vast, vast, vast majority of the population only knows him for Let's Make a Deal. And it's so interesting that he probably feels it's a relief to have to be able to talk about something other than, you know, the Let's Make a Deal jokes or something like that. He actually could talk about something he probably has loved all his life but nobody ever cared about because he was so well known for Let's Make a Deal.
Right. Yep.
All right.
Did we lose it?
Now.
Did we lose Eddie? Eddie, are you still there?
I'm right. I'm
now,
okay.
Now, this Ethan Werrick thing. I know he's near and dear to your heart. It's nice to see.
It's a bunch of garbage.
But you know what? You're right. We don't know. He might have been the next Adam Graves. He might have been, you know, that winger that we needed to fill the net. You just don't know. But there's so many unknowns out there that if this guy isn't lighting it up down there, I don't know why we think that we've just traded away something that would be an answer.
It's not a question if he ever amounts to anything. It's just it's kind of like we have a mutual friend, Jerry Wiederman. It feels to me it's a deal just for the sake of making a deal. That's all that it seems to me. You know, the various sports, fantasy sports we play. This guy Jerry will just make. Everybody knows this guy. If you're in a fantasy league, he makes deals for the sake of making deals. Like guys that will never play, but he wants to make that deal. And this to me just sounds tinkering, or something is underlying here, because you just don't do this. Like,
and
I don't know.
This was probably in the works, because don't forget, the Rangers signed him and then traded him. So maybe there was something to it beforehand, right? Didn't they just sign him literally hours before they dealt him?
Who?
Werrick.
I don't know.
Hours.
No,
it was announced only, you know, one right after the other, right?
Let's see.
Oh, that's
kind of not aware.
Werrick and I'm sorry, I got him confused with Horik. Right. Thanks, Captain.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's not offered an ELC, and that's why the deal was made. They waited to the last second.
Werrick had not signed a contract.
Right. And I'm gonna try to talk to Ethan and see what it was all about. Just say it all.
Name dropping, huh? Ethan.
Yeah.
Huh? He's Ethan, is he?
Can you pick that up? I'm dropping names.
It was definitely a surprise. I was caught off guard, said Werrick. Werrick said he first got wind something might be brewing early that day through his agent. My agent called me and said that a trade was in the works. Nothing was finalized, but it might be by Monday or Tuesday. Later came a little sooner than initially anticipated when Werrick fielded a call a few hours later from Coyotes general manager Don Maloney.
I mean, it's the summer, and, you know, I don't want to make this into a giant issue because it really is. It's insignificant in a way. But it just, and it annoys me that the outrageous continue to do business this way. And, you know, it's Werick now, and maybe it'll be Chris Kreider next week. You know, you don't know.
And what I don't get is, I see, taking it
to the extreme, Batman.
You never know.
It's not like he didn't have a good season. He put up 52 points in 47 games. I don't understand it. I guess we'll have to wait for the Grand High Exalted one to come down from the mountains with the tablets to explain to the press why he made this deal.
Well, isn't it kind of obvious? Once you sign a Horik, then Werick becomes expendable, doesn't he?
Well, I could just tell you, the Eye of Sauron is fixated on Oscar Lindbergh. I will be watching the Lindenberg very closely. I'll be following his career as closely as I'll be following Ethan Werick's. So that's the end of the Ethan Werick chat. We're beating this in.
Oh, the humanity!
So, and I got, you know what? And somebody in the chat room, I got a feeling that Grachev is going to be moved too. So, all my guys.
Should I just head to the airport now to meet him?
Yeah, head to Phoenix. Grachev's going there.
You mean Evgeny? Evgeny and Ethan are gone?
Well, Evgeny's not gone. Evgeny.
Somebody go look for a Coyotes prospect who's underachieving at their San Antonio farm team. And that's the guy. You just start stitching his name on your next Ranger jersey. Because he'll be coming for Grachev.
Only on this show, we don't talk about Brad Rich. We just talk about Grachev and Ethan Werick. That's what I like about this show.
That's what makes this show great. If you called up WFAN and said, I want to talk about Ethan Werick, there ain't one person there who's going to know what you're talking about.
Like,
except for the two guys
anymore
that are on Twitter, Chris Lepresti and the other guy who tweets me every once in a while. Pruka.
I just think, listen, if they're my players, I like them, so that's how we're talking about them. If you don't like it, go shove it. Nobody really saying. No one's opposing me talking. I don't know who I'm yelling at. I'm yelling at you, Mando. That's what I'm yelling at you.
Yelling at the unwashed masses.
So, you got anything of importance to share with the?
No, I'm still on an odd couple high. So, you know, I'm just I'll sit here and listen quietly as you entertain others on the show.
Well, thank you, the great man.
All right, hold on. Let's bring we'll keep Mandar on, and we'll bring in the captain. Captain, how are you?
Boys, how are you tonight?
Doing well. What did you think of Monty Hall?
Pretty good.
I thought it was wonderful. You know, we're really getting some actually big names on this show. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. And it's hockey related. That's a plus.
Yeah. If it was 1970, it'd be a great, real big name. 40 years too late, really. But yes, no.
I think it might still be on the Game Show Network.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I got banned from the Game Show Network chat room, by the way.
I was just going to say, Eddie, you could go check the chat room, but you're not allowed in there anymore.
It was the whole incident.
Was it Gary Berghoff that got you kicked off of there? Is that what it was? Was it Gary Berghoff thing? I know that always sets you off.
Yeah, well, I hate Gary Berghoff on Match Game. He was a snide bastard.
Eddie, is there any truth to the rumor that you helped that guy crack the code on Press Your Luck?
No, I can't even, remember the digits to my ATM. So there's no way I can crack that code. So what's going on, Captain? I see you've been scouring the boards and paying attention to what the people say. What are the people saying out there?
Well, It's interesting in the room talking about the Werick thing. I really think that we're getting ahead of ourselves. From what I understand, they weren't going to sign him anyway, which is fine. I mean, you make a draft pick, you hope he pans out. The majority of them don't. So assuming that they weren't going to sign the kid for whatever reason, the fact that they traded him somewhere and got an asset back the asset's probably better than nothing. So if you think about it that way, I'm all for it. I mean, sure, we wish Warrick would have panned out better. You always want that for your draft picks, but you know that it's not always going to happen. I think Sanguinetti hasn't even on the Hurricanes yet. So we got something for nothing, the way I see it, and I think that's a plus. Plus, maybe he'll play with this other Swedish kid, Jesper Fast, or whatever his name is, and maybe have some chemistry there. It's better than nothing, is the way that I feel about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree to you in a certain degree, but Ethan Werick is not even out of the OHL yet. I mean, you know, Sanguinetti had a couple of years in Hartford when we decided he was terrible. I agree with you. Whatever reason, they did not want to sign him, and they got this guy. But again, I share Jim's thing. It's what is the obsession with Phoenix?
Well, they had to go talk to a team that wasn't in the playoffs. You know, so they could have called the Flyers. But, you know. Oh, man, am I loving that. I am loving that. I don't mean to change subject.
Yeah, we haven't really
rejoiced
about Filthy getting knocked out.
Oh, I was so happy. And it's funny because their fans, like, as soon as they lost Game 3, they were all like, oh, maybe we weren't as good as we thought. No, really? Wow. Thanks for noticing. Maybe you don't have a goaltender and haven't for the past 20 years?
I mean, I don't get
20. I think you're being generous.
Conservative estimate.
I guess you give him I'll give him Hextall. Yeah, you know what it was? I think their fans got fooled by that because they got on a lucky run last year.
Right.
Absolutely.
They figured, they
caught lightning in a bottle last year, and they just automatically assumed that because they had a new goalie that couldn't was the answer to all their problems just because he was new, and that this year the cup was theirs. Like most things in Philadelphia, they stunk and.
We like to rip on Sather, and trust me, I completely agree with a lot of the things that we say about him. But, you know, we talked this on Twitter. I wrote that post about just looking back at some of the horrific, horrific, horrific moves that Holmgren has made since he's been there. And, guys, I got to tell you, I don't think we're no further than 2 years away from being better than that team. There's nobody in their system. All their top two defensemen are on the wrong side of 36, and they're declining quickly. Nobody else can play defense. The rest of those guys aren't really number one or two guys. They're going to just, you know, get into cap hell, which we're not, because we're actually getting away from those big contracts. I mean, they got Carter signed for 11 years, and Richard signed for 12 years, and this guy signed till Armageddon. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It was all about win now, and they didn't win. I really think we will be better than them, legitimately better than them, in no more than 3 years.
Get some first-line talent.
Yeah, the Rangers got to get some first-line.
Or I should say some top-six talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Kreider, assuming that Kreider doesn't make his debut for Phoenix in any time soon, I think we'll be okay.
No promises.
They're already making the lines with Kreider in there over at the Phoenix Westport. Yeah. They got him with Shane Doan and Ethan Werick.
Well,
no, but, you know.
Who's going to be your number one center on your line now that Werick's gone? I know you were really big on him. What's going to happen to your Werick, Grachev, and fill-in-the-blank line?
Fill-in-the-blank line? You know, I don't know. I'm not going to see any of these guys. These guys are going to be all bums. No, I'm only kidding. I don't know. I don't know what's going to go on. I don't know. I'm distraught. I want to get back to the rejoicing about Philadelphia losing.
That's a wonderful topic.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, how many years are you going to go without a goalie? This is just ludicrous. This is like you have such a glaring hole in your organization, but you refuse to fill it.
And
oh, wait, that sounds like the Rangers.
They've tried everything. I mean, they've tried French-Canadian goalies. They've tried black goalies. They've tried Russian goalies. Next year, they're going to go out and get a Puerto Rican goalie and see if he's any better. Right now, they're scouring the Korean leagues looking for a goaltender.
Yeah.
Oh,
Mr.
This just in for the chat room. Brandon Dubinsky traded to Phoenix for Ethan Werrick.
Wow.
Good thing, because I really like Werrick. I'm glad we got him back. I love Werrick.
I like him, too. They were touting him as the next Adam Graves. So anyway, anywho, getting back to the Philadelphia thing. It just they deserve what they get. There's Stu Nods over there. Is Paul Holmgren's job in jeopardy? What's going on over there?
You know what? Here's the rumor that I'm hearing since I live in this area. They're bringing Timo Tiemann in for some sort of a special meeting with Holmgren. And the rumor is that he might be being asked to waive his no trade. I don't think that's really in the best interest of the team. But there's also some tension between Laviolette and Richards, which is a problem since Richards is signed for 12 years. That's probably an issue. I don't know where they're going, because if they don't get any cap space, they can't even sign Brizgalov if they wanted to go play goal. They're going to lose probably Ville Leino to free agency. I have it written. I mean, they have something like, for next year, 50-some-odd million dollars locked up in 11 guys, and they have to construct the rest of a team. And I don't know where that's going to come from. They're going to have a whole bunch of Adirondack Phantoms in the bottom six, and I don't think that's really a positive for that team, which is positive for my team, so I'm not against it.
All right.
There you go.
And then, you got to go. Do you have other phone calls? Because what do you got?
Yeah, we have other phone calls.
I have such a point. Now, Barry Trotz, right? I kind of look at the Predators as the more successful Rangers. I mean, yes, they have Shea Weber and they have Ryan Suter. That's already two better defensemen offensively, let's put. I mean, Mark Stahl, but Shea Weber's a Norris Trophy candidate. You know, this guy's the real deal. But they play a very defensive system. They play it close to the vest. They had a very good season. But is it done for Barry Trotz? I mean, he's been there, you know, since the inception. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, to me, it seems like, I know this is an NHL talk, but I was thinking about this, too. It's like, how long can you keep going with the guy?
Barry Trotz has been around and been in Nashville almost as long as Johnny Cash at this point.
I mean, really? I just wonder how it's all going to shake out. So that's it. So, Jim, take over, Jimmy.
All right, Captain. We're going to get a couple of the phone calls in, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye. All right. 646-478-4692 if you want to call in. We've got about 30 minutes to go. And since we only had Monty for about an hour tonight, we'll just wait till next week to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else to talk about on Friday anyway, so we have to tell jokes or something. Zach.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
How are you? My voice is still shot from Thursday night. How was Boucher Bannister?
Callahan, wait a minute. This just in. Ryan Callahan was traded to Phoenix for Ethan Werrick, and then Kreider was traded to Phoenix for Ryan Callahan.
It sounds like a fair trade.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I think the worst trade I've heard in the past week was when Sabre decided to trade the Statue of Liberty to Phoenix for those Camelback Mountains. That really upset me.
In fairness, all she did was stand there. What does she do?
In front of that.
What does she do?
She was the heart and soul of the team. She was the true captain.
Yeah. She just stood there, arm in the air.
I
thought she had a no-move clause.
Enough with the torch.
Oh, I like that one. She had a no movement clause.
No, the mountain had the no move clause. The statue could be moved. It was moved here from France. The mountain got the no move clause that had to wave.
East is enough.
It is very true.
Concerned about Concerned about the mountains range, though.
The yesterday, somebody posted a video on Facebook. It was an old David Letterman clip, the top 10 things the Rangers did during the summer after they won the Stanley Cup. And I don't know if you guys saw it or heard about it, but one of the guys, number three, is this really big guy, just skates on it and says, I spent the entire summer eating. It reminded me of you guys.
What the fuck, man?
Oh, come on. So mean.
I'm so mean? I am. You are talking to two of the sexiest men on internet radio.
I never said you were ugly.
He loves it. You offended Jim here. I've never seen him get this way before.
Speaking of Jim getting that upset, yes. have they voted yet? Has the Glendale Council voted yet on whether the Coyotes are staying or not?
I think that's tonight.
It is tonight. I don't know if it happened yet or not.
Probably not.
No.
What is going on? I'm sorry. I'll go ahead.
I just wanted to say real quick if you guys heard about the Islanders press conference tomorrow, and if you know.
You're my yummy, yummy cupcake! Yummy, yummy cupcake! Fuck that! Fuck that shit!
Well,
the
news that they might announce, you might be interested in hearing.
I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care. I don't care. He doesn't care. I don't care.
Bing, bing, bing.
Bing, bing, bing. Bing, 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 bing.
Bing, bing, stop.
One more time. I don't care.
I love Kevin Meaney.
They're supposedly going to build a casino.
Where?
Where the mausoleum is.
So what, they're going to play in the casino?
Yeah. Come on, who needs a nice skating rink? You just play craps all night long.
I wish they'd just move and get it over with. Eddie has said it 1,000 times, their fans have abandoned them.
That's right.
They don't. Nobody cares about that team anymore.
Yeah, nobody cares. There's like 10 pimply-faced 19-year-olds and a bunch of infirmed old people.
You're my honey bun sugar plum, pumpy umby umskin.
We haven't heard that one.
I have
that on the switchboard as the Islanders' fight song.
That's their fight song. They listen to that in the. They should be playing that as the goal song. Every time they score, you hear the yummy, yummy cupcakes being played.
That would be funny. All right, Zach, I'm gonna get a couple other calls in, and put this.
Good, because if I say anything else, I'll probably be blown up.
Probably. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, brother.
Later. Robbie!
What's going on, guys?
What are you up to? What's going on?
What have I been up to? I am terribly sorry I missed last week's show. I was having some trouble with my lady friend.
Wait a minute. Lady friend?
Yes.
Did you hear that, Jim?
Lady friend, you're 17 years old. You're not supposed to have lady friends. You're supposed to have girls you're banging. Don't say lady friend. You're not. What are you, 60? Who are you, Tom Bosley? My lady friend?
He's a gentleman. I like that.
We kind of got in a little bit of a debate. And
excuse me while I whip this out.
Exactly.
Speaking of girls, I just put this in the chat room. I watched opening night for the first time because I miss the Rangers and I miss hockey. And Stephon's mom is even hotter than I thought she was. She is gorgeous. Let me tell you, I fuck her in a heartbeat. Wouldn't you guys?
He went from a lady to...
What?
Rocky, the all of a sudden, the hormones, the masculine testicular fortitude took over, and the F-bomb went flying.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I just saw her, so I thought she's pretty attractive, you know what I mean? So, you know. But I think it's a question I've always wanted to ask you guys. What would you do if I was dating an Islanders fan?
What? What would we do, what?
What would you do if I was dating an Islanders fan?
Be looking to get...
Pretty much as soon as I saw you on the switchboard, I would just put you on... He hung up. He thought I really blew him up.
I think I heard him laugh, too.
Yeah, he was laughing, but he thought I really blew him up. Well, Robbie, to answer your question, that's what I would do. I would, as soon as I saw your number come up on the switchboard, I would put you on the air, blow you up, and then disconnect you. And that would be it. You don't date outside the family.
Yeah, that's right. Go outside.
Jet fans don't date Patriots fans. Giant fans don't date Cowboy fans. They don't date Eagles fans. Yankee fans don't date Red Sox fans. Mets fans don't date. But
hey, I'm a fan of the Mets, but I don't follow
I'm a fan of theirs as well. It's not going well. Didn't even get Robbie's comments on it. All right. We got 23 minutes left to go. They're asking for a roll call. I will leave that up to you. I will defer if you want to.
Why not? They all showed up. They all stood around. I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
What is this? Do you want me to play this? What is this thing you uploaded?
Frank and me?
What is that? Should I play that as the intro?
It's very short.
It's from
something about Mary.
Oh, wait.
Frank and Beans! Frank and Beans!
What? Oh, okay. Frank and Beans! Okay, now I know what that is. All right, let me find your roll call music here. Where is it?
Okay.
Oh, that's not it. Oh, that's not it. Hold on. Oh, here we go.
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Gentlemen, it's the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Roll Call, the Monty Hall. Let's make a deal edition. And let me tell you something. What a show for the ages, those who have stuck around us, with us for the 15th hour of this show. You are very, very diehard, and it's very much appreciated. Now, Let's get down to beeswax. Amy Ornato, who I find myself agreeing with more and more. I don't know. I think we're kindred ranger spirits. Bill Maher, the great Bill Maher. Politically incorrect? Don't know. But that's spelled differently. Bill Maher, Rick Maher, that's who I think of. Who played for the Whale. Not the Connecticut Whale, the Hartford Whale. It's Bill Maher. Amy, thank you for joining us tonight. The captain who checked in with us earlier with a brilliant phone call is reveling in the pain of his Flyer fan friends. Flyer fan friends. That's some alliteration there for you. Some free-form alliteration from yours truly. Costa the Crazy Greek, Costa Crazy the Greek. The man who brought his own cheesecake to the Blue Shirt Banner Radio party. The man will bring his own desserts if he comes to your house and doesn't like what you have to offer. And then the great Cutter TML, Leafs fan extraordinaire from Kitchener, Ontario. One of the all-time greats. Rumor is it, has it, that he will be on this very show in a couple minutes after I'm done. Dr. Mark Twain, a man that wrote spun many a yarn. Dr. Mark. I don't know if that's Mark Twain, but Dr. That's a little, that's hip. Dr. Yeah. Dr. Love. Fedorov 91, ladies and gentlemen, one of the all-time greats, Sergei Fedorov. However, my lasting impression of him is scoring a goal that beat the New York Rangers in the playoffs, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it is. We have two guests in the room who are no doubt Ethan Werick and Evgeny Gratcha. Howie Sussman, the great Howie Sussman, we love you, Howie. You're a faithful companion of this show, and we appreciate the time that you put in to listen to us. The great Jay Grossman, one of the nicest guys you'll never meet, and he loves to play with Legos. Manda, the great Manda, who has to take me to task on everything. I liked it when we had our own show, and he was just my yes man. Master of brutality. Love the master, and I love brutality. Listen, we all love brutality because we're Ranger fans. It's brutal out there, folks, being a Ranger fan, especially when we're on the power play. Mr. French, Sebastian Cabot, as we know him or knew him, with some of the most ridiculous names in TV history on that show. Sissy, Buffy, and a boy named Jody, and of course, Uncle Bill. And we all know Buffy's doll, but we know what that name was? Mrs. Beasley.
Mrs. Beasley.
That's right. Mr. French is indeed in a trench. Ranger Duke 35, we all know that's the incredible, fantastic Zach Wagner! Wow, I sound like Oprah there. You want a brand new... Everybody's going to Australia! All right, Rangers 235, Zach. Zach, thank you for joining us at the NHL store. Check him out. He gets commissions every time he buys something. Ranger HCP, one of the all-time fantabulous, great people you are going to see here, always here. Thank you for your support, as Bartle and James used to say. Or something like that, they used to say. Bartles and James.
We thank you for your support.
Yes, we should get that clip and play that. Robbie Gio Guy Lombardo. That's right. Guy Lombardo and his Canadian Airmen.
Right.
They used to do Auld Lang Syne. That's their big hit, apparently. They used to play it on New Year's Eve way back in the day. You got blown up because you dared to tread in some... in the cesspool that it is being a New York Islander fan. And Rocco Sansone, who is half drunk. What's the other half? I'd like to know. And then...
half scotch, half soda.
That's right. That was a good joke by Monty. And then there's Roy Pa. Roy is either from Pennsylvania and typed in too many A's or... he's from the Roy
Triple
News server.
He works for AAA.
Or, yeah. His name is Ron Olson, and he works for AAA. Right.
Or maybe,
his name is Roy.
Or maybe his name's Roy Pod, and he's in AA.
That's true. And then we got the great one, Ellie. Oh, God. I need to take my medication. Waz, we appreciate you. You're always here. You're the rock. You are the standard that we all try to be as Ranger fans and listeners and participants of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. This concludes the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Roll for Tuesday, May 10th, 2011. Holy Manoli Shop, holy cavoli, pepperoni. I don't know.
All right. We got 15 minutes to go. We'll be back. One day next week we'll be back. We'll let you guys know. You guys that follow us on Facebook and Blue Shirt Banner and everywhere else you follow us, we'll let you know when we're going to be back. I got a quick question for you. This is off topic, but I thought of it. You're from Long Island. Have you ever heard of a band called Bayside?
No.
Okay. They're not. They've been around, I guess, about 10 years. Kind of a new rock, I guess, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. Their music's okay. My son likes them. Well, they were. He was here last week visiting, and he found out that they were doing a show here in town the week after he went home, and they were also doing a signing at a mall here.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks me if I'll go to this signing and get some autographs from this band. So mm-hmm. I go down to the mall yesterday, and it's at a Hot Topic is where the signing is at, right? And I get online with about 30 people in front of me online, and I am in some cases three times as old as some of these kids online. I mean, they're literally sitting there pointing at me and giggling. And I told my son, I said, you owe me for this. I said, I'm gonna get the long cut. I said, you're gonna work your ass off for this. I said, or else I'll sell it on eBay.
So anyway, you're a good dad. You're a good dad. You got in there, and you got to keep thinking young. But Hot Topic, you could have been on To Catch a Predator if there wasn't an event there, and you were there. You might have been on that show.
And the guys in the band were really cool. They kind of looked at me weird because I was older than them too. And I said, I'm here for my son, blah, blah, blah. They said, wow, that's really cool of you. And they said, oh, we're doing a show in Times Square in a couple of weeks. Tell him to come check us out. I said, I'm pretty sure. I think he's already got his tickets. And they were really nice guys. So Bayside, I salute you. Are you ready for Cutter? We've been putting him off for about 6 weeks now.
No, I enjoy Cutter. I want to hear what he has to say.
All right, hold on. I'm going to bring him in. Now, Cutter, now I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
You cheesed me off a couple weeks ago when you said on Facebook that the show was lame. But tonight when you swore your allegiance to us, you kind of bumped back up a little bit, so I appreciate it. So welcome to the program, Cutter. Good evening, and how are you?
Airst up in the east.
Airst, ridiculous.
you guys get the reference.
Of course.
Yeah, sure. That's Odd Couple password.
Well, yeah. I mean, that is the second best Odd Couple of all time, after, of course, Monty Hall's, I bet.
Well, I like the password better, and the Howard Cosell one. What do you think, Jim?
The password one is great. You know what? All three of those are probably in my top five of Odd Couple episodes. First would definitely be the one where he redecorates the apartment. Well, let's ask the Odd Couple expert, Mandar, if you only had to watch one episode of the Odd Couple for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
Oh, Password, without a doubt.
Password? Okay.
Password, without a doubt.
Thank you, Alan Ludden.
I'm not speaking to Alan Ludden.
I like the one. I think my favorite would have to be the one where he redecorates the apartment.
I don't know. I also like the one where Oscar kept on winning because he knew the little guy jockey. Who needs a bank? I've got a midget named Harry.
That is a good one. All right, so Cutter, I'm sure you didn't call up to talk about the Odd Couple, or did you?
No, it actually popped in my head that, you know, we were saying a lot of things about Odd Couple, and it just popped in my head, Aristophanes, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know what that is. Maybe I'll say it on the show.
It's a well-known fact that Lincoln loved mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah, that too. You're correct, sir.
Graphite.
Graphite.
So,
Detroit just tied it up.
tied it up?
Detroit just tied the game up.
So, Cutter, what are your feelings on the playoffs so far? Were you rooting vehemently against the Flyers because you are your second favorite team is the New York Rangers?
Well, because Philly exhausted themselves last year taking down the big bad Bruins, so I thought Boston was due. And, yes, because you Ranger fans always have a beef about the Flyers, and the fact is that the Flyers do suck.
All right.
There you go. So who are you pulling for now in the playoffs?
I know this is going to sound a little off, and I think it's going to be predictable, but
nothing you say would ever sound off. Why would anything you say ever possibly be off?
Well, it's predictable. Vancouver.
Oh, see, now do you want me to blow you up now?
No.
Why are you rooting for Vancouver? Is it because they're Canada?
Not just that. It's that because, you know, you got to give them their due. I mean, Chicago last year had to wait 49 years. And, of course, Toronto fans were waiting for our due, but we're not getting that.
Nathan Lafayette shoots a puck 2 inches to the other side, and you might not be rooting for Vancouver.
Yeah. Pavel Bure doesn't high stick Jay Wells. They have not won the cup either.
Well,
so,
Mistel would have won the cup. Trust me.
Oh, he's that confident. Well, you know, you're right. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. I look at it, yes, it would be nice for a team that's been on the schneid, so to speak, to win. But I'd like to see a riot, just like Jim. Because, you know, things aren't going so great in America right now with the, well, you know, we had the Bin Laden thing. Everybody cheered about that. But, let's see something happen bad in Canada, like Vancouver getting knocked out. And that's a minor thing. So, there will be great. And plus, you know, all Canada, and I'm not talking about you, Jeff, because you're a fair man and you're a gracious man, but those Canadian snobs. I just want to say the Canadian snobs up there, if it's a Tampa Bay, San Jose, they won't even watch because it's their sport, blah, blah, blah. And even people in America won't watch either because Tampa Bay and San Jose, they're not hockey towns. So,
no, far from it.
Right. So, but that's all I got to say about that.
Well, fair.
Good to know. What else you got, Cutter?
What else do I got?
I thought you'd have more than this. It's been a while since we had you on. I thought you'd. I gotta be honest with you. I thought you'd have a little more.
Oh yes, I seriously have a lot more. Anyway, Jim, how do you feel about the Coyotes maybe leaving Phoenix?
There's nothing I can do to stop it. So what do I care?
Okay, you
don't
care.
Look, what are you gonna do? Look, they're not.
They're
losing money. They've lost they've lost money every year since they've been here. So, you know, but the problem is that Gary Bettman's being stubborn. Glendale's hemorrhaging money. So it's just a bad idea. It was a bad idea to move them where they are, out to the arena where they are. They should never have done it. It was a bad idea for the team. It was a bad idea for the city of Glendale. And I think the best thing for him would be to move him somewhere else, but I have a feeling it won't happen. I have a feeling they'll just keep pouring money down a rat hole with that team, and they'll keep drawing 8,000 fans during the season and keep making trades with the Rangers, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I don't know why Phoenix makes so many trades with New York. It doesn't make sense.
We touched on that.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't get to hear it.
Eddie fell asleep.
As is, Jim. I mean, everyone. I know you guys are saying that Gary Bettman's, like, you know, biased and all that. But the big bias is that he's anti-fucking Canadian.
Oh, that's great.
Look. One main point. is that when Gary Bettman left the NBA to go to be the NHL commissioner in 93, what were the first two expansion teams to go to the NBA? That's right, Canadian teams, Toronto and Vancouver. So there's a strong correlation there.
What do you want me to do? You want me to cry? What do you want me to do? Really, what do you want me to do? You want me to break into Old Canada? I don't know what you want me to do.
No, well... Is he, what are you saying?
That's the only point I'm making. That's all I have to say.
A bunch of garbage.
Are you saying
okay.
that he's...
Makes sense. Makes
are you
sense.
Saying... Well, Jeff, are you saying he's anti-Canadian?
In a sense.
Okay. But how does that correlation work with the basketball analogy you meant since he
because Bettman worked for the NBA before he went to the NHL.
Right. He's saying that they didn't expand to Canada until Bettman was gone.
Oh, okay. All right.
What was Bettman's position with the NBA? Wasn't he just like a lawyer or something like that?
Some kind of assistant. I can't remember for the life of me.
I really don't think two are related, Cutter. I know you're looking for some kind of conspiracy here.
We represent the lollipop.
Zach, if you're calling in for Friday night show, should we do one just for Zach? We're not doing a show Friday night, Zach. You want to? You can call me at home, Zach. Tell me all about it.
Well, Cutter, we appreciate you calling us tonight. It's been a long time. We really do appreciate you. You know, being part of the show now. I know you think that sometimes we're picking on you. We're not picking on you.
No. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
And a shot! And a shot!
One more thing.
Okay.
We represent the lollipop kill. The lollipop kill. The lollipop kill. And in the name of the lollipop kill, we wish to welcome you.
I personally think that me and Nandar should have a rematch in trivia, maybe playoff trivia sometime.
Here we go.
You get no rematch.
You're trying to think, but nothing happened.
No rematch? Okay, fine. But just
quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, just remember, Nandar, don't slip off your throne because someone else is going to come and perch themselves on it, okay?
You were kicked off the perch. You're not allowed back up there until you work your way back up. Maybe, you know what, defeat somebody before you start talking about taking on the champion.
Well,
and that's
what do you
it.
Do?
Yeah, you know, sometimes,
well,
Cutter, you know, sometimes...
Whatever you want me to do, just tell Jim, okay? Good night, Jim. Good night, Eddie. Good night, man.
Take care. Take care.
What am I at, a pay no mind list over here? Am I not trying to talk to him? What am I, a mirage?
A mirage?
What am I, a dump in the pants? As Peter McNeely once said. Am I a dump in the pants?
Oh, that's great.
I just go. That's only Bob Gilbert.
Well.
Anyway. Well, we're almost done.
Another one in the books.
Ladies and gentlemen, who does represent Lollipop Gilbert? we thank you for joining us. I mean, it's been a really good show tonight. They always say the great Monty Hall was on, and the great Jeff Diamond was on. The always absolute authority man joined us. And Jimmy, you know, another one in the books, and a lot of fun, man.
All right. All right, everybody. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a great week. Enjoy. Take care, everybody.
We represent.
Oh my God!
Oh, that was classic. I mean, all tears.
Right. See you guys later. Take care.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.